Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel with your hosts, Doug and Jamie.
We are back again, and this is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels, and we do it in two parts. The first, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. And the second, an interview with an actor or someone involved in the film that made it worth watching. Really hope you enjoyed last week's with Lance Kinsey Proctor from Police Academy. He had amazing stories about his comedic journey and some of the fun stuff he's still working on today. But before we dive into this week's movie, I have to introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how you doing?
Awesome, Doug. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. I feel like it's May, so it's like we're having a little bit of Christmas in May with this week's movie.
Yeah, the series is, you know, everybody's seen the first two. I've never even heard of this one, but it was a trip to watch.
It was a movie. But yeah, the reason why we're putting it out so soon is we had the opportunity when we send out all these emails to all the actors and people involved in films. You know, we get one pretty much for most of the ones that we've done. This one, we got two. So I want to make sure it gets out there. So these great interviews you folks can hear, even though it is a Christmas movie, just think about Christmas in May. And if you haven't guessed what the movie is, it is the follow-up to the big Macaulay Culkin Home Alone films John Hughes produced and directed and wrote. So we're talking about Home Alone 3. Came out in 1997. I was 11 years old. And right off the bat, let's jump right into it. What's really cool is, obviously back then I didn't realize, like, John Hughes is this great guy. It's really cool. He wrote this movie.
Did you know who was in the movie?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, Haviland Smith, who was in, what, Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles?
16 Candles. She played Mercedes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm looking, like, you know, she looks so familiar, and I'm like, who is she? I had to look it up, and yeah, she played the hot rich girl.
Yeah.
You know.
The one that he took back.
Yep.
The car, yeah.
By the way, there's someone else in the movie. You didn't notice?
No,
big name. And my son noticed. He's like, it looks just like her. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, ScarJo, yeah.
Well, you're acting like you didn't know.
No, I didn't thought it was going to be. I know. I have another hidden thing in this movie that I found, and I thought you were going to reveal that, but you didn't. But yeah, Scarlett Johansson, please.
I had no idea. And so my son goes, is that Scarlett Johansson? I'm like, no. And we looked it up. It was her. So I didn't know.
She was in a few. Oh, Scarlett Johansson was in another movie when she was really young. I'm not going to fact check it right now, but I feel like she's in The Fugitive. She's in a really weird movie, like really, really young.
I don't know if
it's a Fugitive, but it's a movie like that. So let's jump right into this. Like I said, John Hughes wrote this. He upped the stakes. The other movies, you had the Sticky Bandits, the Wet Bandits. They were just trying to rob houses, like steal little things here and there.
They were local thieves, you know, robbing a house. You know, this movie starts off like they're spies. I mean, like we're getting international thieves now. This is crazy.
And North Korea was bad back then. They wanted this chip. This chip was going to be able to make it so if you plant it on any missile, nothing can detect it, so it could do damage wherever it is. And just to go back to the first two, did you ever feel watching those movies, it felt like maybe they wanted to hurt Kevin, but you never felt like they were going to kill him because they were robbers, but they never had weapons.
Right. I think with the first one, I think towards like the end of them getting their ass beat, they wanted to hurt him. Not kill, but they wanted to give him some kind of torture. You could see, like, Joe Pesci was pissed. You know, this movie, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder the kid.
They all had guns. They had every weapon to get into it. But, yeah, so the missile chip. So the stakes are raised. As a kid when I watched this, I wish I could interview myself when I'm 11. I probably was watching, like, what am I watching? They're going to kill this kid.
Yeah, you're definitely jumping ahead, you know, because, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the one, you know, after that, you know, we figured out with, you know, what they're transferring into the airport, is it me or when they're trying to, in these movies, when they're trying to look like undercover or like, you know, secret, they stand out so much more. Like, when they were, the way they're walking, the way they're grouping around, the way they're, you know, like, they stood out so much. Like, who are these, like, guys? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it, maybe it's not making sense.
No, it's, they were wearing black leather in the wear. They're all wearing black.
They're walking as if they're, like, you know, hiding something. Like, they look so, like, ridiculous. Like, no one notices. No one notices how, you know, they're standing out.
They were like high school kids getting stoned. And they're like, okay, act cool. And everybody knew. And it was the old bag switcheroo. Why would they use a bag from what seems like the most popular place in San Francisco?
Everybody had the same exact bag.
Yeah, Parisian. Everyone had it. They're like, hey, let's hide this in a... Again, it makes sense. They wanted to hide it into it. If it had worked, eggs on my face. But no, they put it inside of a toy car. And then they got caught in line. And then probably... the worst villain ever in the movie. I think the worst villain in this movie is the old woman who takes the bag.
Well, you know what? But they had one of those in every movie. They had the bird lady in the second one. They had the creepy old neighbor in the first one. Like, they, you know, these old people that just come across very creepy.
Is that the formula? Maybe we should write one of these.
I think it is. It's, you have to have that creepy person that eventually, you know, becomes the nice person at the end of the movie.
Yeah. And one thing to reflect on definitely is, you know, we're living in a different time now, but in 1997, man, airport security was so nice. They walked pretty much right through. They like checked. They're like, hey, ma'am, can you step back? Man, nowadays, like TSA, I feel like she'd throw them in the back room.
Yeah.
One thing that was really wild, and I think it's always funny, and there's a lot in this movie of technology that does not exist yet, that somehow that they pretend exists. So Lenny Van Dolan, who plays one of the bad guys, who is next week's interview, he was in a bunch of stuff. They chase the old lady outside. They're trying to figure out where she's going.
Before we even get to that point, so she notices the old lady. She notices the bag and the old lady, like, what, 10 feet in front of her? How'd she lose the lady that fast? Like, she walks into the terminal. She sees the bag. She calls her buddy saying, hey, I found the bag. I found the old lady. The old lady put the bag on the floor. So there wasn't a lot of time in between. And then the next time they're chasing her, they're, like, so far behind her. Like, how'd she move that fast?
I think that's the formula throughout this movie. There's a lot of times they're really close to things and then really far away. It's like the old lady had the speed of, like, Michael Myers in Halloween. Like, she was barely moving it. And then she was like, speed up, boy, the guy that was riding the little golf cart. But, yeah, they somehow find out that she's going to Chicago. They get on the airplane at the same time. Then they're, like, chasing her out. Then when they run outside, he lifts up his glove and he takes a photo with his glove. And then the photo automatically goes to his Palm Pilot. That technology did not exist.
You didn't have one of those gloves back then?
That would be the creepiest thing. Like, Google Glasses is creepy. Like, that's even creepier. Just think of a creeper, like, just walking around the mall.
This movie is all about creeping. I mean, you know, and we'll get to the kid being such a creeper of his neighborhood. So, you know, but it is all about creeping.
Oh, definitely. And then again, this old taxi driver. A, this guy shouldn't have his license anymore.
Correct.
Honestly. Think about it. Some strangers, again, you said it best. They look that creepy. They're in the yard where they're parking the taxi. They corner him, and they're basically, like, trying to get information.
I wrote down.
Yeah, where'd you drop this old lady off? And it's like, wouldn't you be like, hey, man, I'm not telling you. There must be some trouble you're trying to cause this old lady. No, right away. Tells exactly all the details. Everything.
And that, not for nothing, he remembered a lot of details for dropping someone off. I mean, I'm assuming a cab driver will drop you off, you know, maybe take your luggage out and you're leaving. He's not paying that much attention to that. If the driveway was shoveled, if there's, you know, an ornament outside, if there's, you know, like, he knew everything about the house and the old lady.
Well, he probably only drives 5 or 10 miles an hour. So if you think about it, it's probably the only fare he had all night.
That is true.
So then we meet our Kevin McAllister of this film, Alex Pruitt.
He reminded me of a home improvement kid. Like, he looked like that.
Oh, JTT?
Like, yeah,
kind of. He's 8 years old, okay? 8 years old. I know it's winter. It's near the holidays. But he's shoveling. It seems pretty late at night. There's no cars on the road. He's out there shoveling?
I wrote the same thing down. I mean, he's out. He's 8 years old. The shovel's bigger than him. It was taller than him, and he's going out there hustling, shoveling driveways at 8 years old. So what parent is letting their 8 year old at night, you know, shovel around? And yeah, I wrote the same thing down. It's ridiculous.
And so, she was so pissed that he didn't do it right away when she was, like, on her trip. But, and he said, but, and she said, butts are for ashtrays. It's just insane. And then we find out, I think pretty much right after that. Oh yeah. So then she's like, oh, somebody took my sourdough bread, because the whole bag switcheroo. Yep. So she gives him the remote control car.
So she was traveling with sourdough bread on the plane.
Yeah, my wife was watching with me, and she was like, I guess I know San Francisco is known for that, but that's kind of weird to be able to be like, I'm just bringing back bread. But then when he was like, you know what the great thing about this kid was? He's 8 years old. He's wise beyond his years. And he even said to the lady, oh, since I didn't do it fast enough, you don't have to pay me. And she goes, what? So you could tell the whole neighborhood that I stiffed you? What a crotchety old woman.
He really was. She was crotchety, and he, you know, he should be working for the government. He was like the smartest 8-year-old I've ever seen in any movie. But yeah, she was, and you know, I didn't think about it that way. She definitely was the villain. Like, you know, like, you notice she was very bitter. She was a bitter old lady. She lived alone. She didn't want to look after the kid when the mom went away. Like, she was just angry all the time.
And she drank early in the morning. She was drinking vodka really early in the morning and smoking cigarettes. Really early. She should not be doing that at her age. And then we find out the bad guys from that old cabbie coughing up all that information, that the bad guys are going to be in the neighborhood tomorrow. And then what happens? Alex has chickenpox.
Yep.
And he screams. And do you remember what happened after he screamed?
I do, because apparently this happens more than once. So first of all, I want to know how low is the toilet bowl?
Or
how much heat is he packing?
I mean... I just don't. It's Scarlett Johansson screw. Alex slammed the toilet seat on his thingy again.
Now, you've probably peed over a million times in your life. Yeah. Have you ever come close to slamming the thing? No. You know, right. So
zipper, yes.
That's a different story. That's you know, that can happen. This is a little weird. I mean, especially then the toilet bowl must be really high. I mean, he's a short kid.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's really weird.
That was super weird. And then one thing that I thought was really cool was when he first got back into the house, and this is how you know right off the bat that this kid's good with machines. He's good at contraptions. In order to feed his goldfish, he has a Rube Goldberg machine that has all the cranks and everything happens, and it's foreshadowing that he's going to be pretty good at this.
And you know what? I wrote the same thing. He, you know, it reminded me of like a Pee Wee Herman kind of like, you know, simple, just, you know, pour the food in there. But no, he has to have all this contraptions and you know, robotic stuff to feed the fish. And right away you're seeing, all right, here's the creative genius that this kid is. And you see, this is going to come into play later on.
Yeah.
And a much bigger way. I mean, really, he makes Kevin McAllister look like a dope.
Oh, dude, totally. Yeah. So we already mentioned before Scarlett Johansson's a sister. And in this film, the brother who's playing the Buzz type character, in this film, instead of, he doesn't have a tarantula, he has a talking parrot who is, I hope that parrot got paid well.
To me, he was the best character in the movie. I thought he was the funniest character in the movie.
He was pretty good.
He was great, especially when he actually answered. He actually told, I think it was at one point, he told the kid to hide or run or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, so he wasn't just repeating things. He was guiding the kid where to go, you know? So, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the brother from the other movie. They tried to mimic the mom and the brother so much in this. Like, the mom's crazy orange hair, very, same as the first movie, the woman, the brother, what was his name? Butch or
Buzz.
Buzz. He had like a crazy flat toppy kind of, like, you know, this kid has like some crazy orange hair again, you know, and again, another creep. I mean, for some reason they make like a lot of redheads, like even Christmas Story, redheads are always like bullies and jerks. They always do that.
No, so I was watching my wife, and it was funny that you say that, because the first time you see Haviland Smith, you know, who's playing the mom, first time you see her, you don't notice it. But when she goes to work and comes back that one time and she's standing on the front porch, she's wearing like, honestly, if we went back, she's wearing the same outfit that Catherine O'Hara was wearing in the airport. The same green. It looks exactly the same. Green, the hair flowing. Her hair is obviously longer than Catherine O'Hara's was, but same look, everything.
Did it take place in Chicago also, the first one?
Yep.
So, okay, so the movie is Home Alone 3, so it has nothing to do with the first movie, right? But they have to pick in the same town, the same kind of, like, you know, family, kind of, like, you know, like, that, weird. I mean, outside of the fact that they had like 25 people living in the first movie in the house, but same huge house. Like the house looks very similar to the other one, you know. But yeah, like why, like really, why call Home Alone again at this point? Make it, you know, another kind of movie like that. This kid was actually in a movie before that, a big movie. I mean, I think it was called Max Keebler.
Oh, Max Keebler. Yeah. I've heard
he played Max Keebler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that you say that. So there's like, obviously, with doing these sequels, there's a few kind of sequels that we've done. We just did Police Academy. Those are continuing. You're like, oh, Police Academy. I know those people. I know that. There's a formula to it.
Yep.
Home Alone 3. Future episode that we have coming out, because we already did the interview and we talked about it. Meatballs 3. It's kind of in the Meatballs 3 range. There's no really, there wasn't even a throwaway line in this one. There wasn't like a, hey, I can understand if their last name was McAllister or something. They're like, hey, remember your cousin Kevin did this seven years ago?
He, you know, he did make a comment to what I don't, but I don't remember what it was. That was similar to what Kevin McAllister said to one of the bandits. So I forget what part it was, but he said something that was a different line, but in a similar way that Kevin McAllister said. And I totally forgot. No, this movie is almost like a remake. I would look at it as more of a remake than a sequel.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a remake, but just
like a reboot.
Yeah, but on like steroids.
Oh,
because well, obviously, I think the first one came out in 90. I think. Yeah, they definitely take it up a notch, and we'll get into all the violence that ensues.
Well, you know, they took it up the notch in every way possible. I mean, even with the bad guys. I mean, you know, you don't have these like, you know, clumsy crooks in the neighborhood crooks. Now you have this international, you know, thieves, and it's so it's a whole different. And so I guess if you're gonna jack up the kid, you got to jack up the bad guys.
Oh, definitely.
Although they might be dumber than Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern. I don't know.
Yeah. No. You know what? A couple of them are pretty dumb.
A couple are. Yeah.
Yeah. So we mentioned it. Alex is homesick. He has the chicken pox. And at the same time, the bad guys are out looking for the toy car. I think there's like 15, 16 houses on the block. So they have to do it by process of elimination. So Alex's mom stays home and she gives him a bell to ring. And dude, if my kid was ringing that bell over and over again while I was trying to work and he had a spring on his face like that and then ran the toy car up my leg, dude, I go nuts.
Well, you know, okay, this kid is obviously a genius. You would think their parents would know that he's a genius. I mean, I know you didn't mention it. I don't know if this happened yet or not. The TV across the way, the neighbor's TV, the old lady's TV.
Yep.
Now, first of all, he has to rig it with a whole like contraption. Like easily, he could just use the remote, but he has to make it like with a what do you have like a telescope attached to the remote, and like this kid's 8 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so the parents should know that this kid's a genius. And I feel like they act like he's just a typical 8-year-old, you know, troublemaking kid.
Yeah. And with that, I think I've seen this much in other 80 movies. It's like one of those tropes that they do when they have the neighbor, they change a TV with the remote. I think there's a point for that thing, maybe to extend like the signal. But yeah, that was really awesome when he did that. And you know, so he's messing with the old lady who's drinking at 9 a.m. by changing her channels. So she changes the channel. All right. This is it. I don't know if you wrote this down. He puts on a music video.
Yes.
Did you notice?
I didn't know. But I mean, I know the scene. I just didn't, you know, I think I was writing down when I saw it. But at first, honestly, I thought it was porn at first.
Great. So I didn't even know this actor, then more recently a singer, and then he still acts. Jamie Foxx, 1997, a music video of Jamie Foxx.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is it a real music video, or do you think?
It looked real. I don't think that they would just throw it in, because he wasn't – the Jamie Foxx show was on back then, but it's not like
no, huge, no. Really yeah.
huge or anything. But
well, you know, it was probably around the time of him, you know, on like Living Color and everything else.
Yeah, right? Living Color, I think, was probably done, and he was doing like Def Comedy Jam and that.
So I wonder, yeah, I didn't, you know what?
But it would be like more of his stand-up or acting, singing.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so this is the first time that we talk about the kid being a creeper. He has a telescope. And this is the first time I laughed really hard in the movie. So when the rat, Doris the rat, was pretty awesome. She's up there with, I don't know if she's a she. I shouldn't assume her sex. But so Doris the rat climbs up and she looks through the telescope and zooms it on the face of a cat. It was so silly. I loved it.
And then, the rat ran through his little pouch or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
The teepee thing. Yeah, you know, the kid is such a creeper because he creeps on the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he's looking in windows. Now, come on. you know he's looking in windows. You know he's spying on people, maybe changing or something.
No, he's peeping.
He's a total peeper, without a doubt.
Yeah. You know what's funny about him? When he was doing those scenes and he was looking around and making the jokes, again, you don't know how many takes it is and all that, but dude, now that you said he was in a movie before this, and I remember Max Keebler, dude, he has great comedic timing. Like, he's really funny. Like, everything was good. It wasn't stale, like, his interaction with the parents, with the bad guys. But, so, Alex is onto these bad guys pretty quick. It's, like, pretty super quick that he's onto exactly everything they're doing.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. When he saw the guy in the house, I barely could make out what he was looking at. I mean, I knew you could see someone walking around. He noticed the guy's wearing a glove. He noticed this guy. He noticed everything about the guy over there. Then he realized that there's a getaway car on one side. There's a woman over here walking. Like, he knew, he saw the whole, he scoped the whole neighborhood and realized exactly who's involved and what and what's going on within one telescope swoop.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you real quick. You've leased houses before, right?
Yeah.
How long is usually the process? Can you do it in an hour? Because the woman walked into the house. She's like, oh, my boys are going to love it here. We'll take it. And the sign's off the lawn. All in that same morning scene.
Well, unless it's, maybe for sale by owner. And they just need to run. Who knows? Yeah, I don't think you could lease a house in an hour.
They didn't do a credit check. And they go, wait. Because you remember, towards the end of the movie, this isn't spoiling anything. They're bad people. So the FBI and the Air Force, when they're looking at it, they're going by their names, like their real names. Would they do a credit check on these people and be like, wait, you guys are bad guys, moving over? But now they probably feel paid him cash, but I thought it was just so silly. So we were joking, me and my wife when we were watching, and we said, this movie is like Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window for kids.
Yep, it is.
It's honestly, he's sick. He's really, he leaves the house obviously a few times, but he's sick. He's just like hanging. He just sees everything. And
his to keep him busy, he's spying on the entire neighborhood and judging everything. And again, spying in the windows. So it's not even like, he's not even looking at stars. He's looking inside people's houses.
Yeah. And you know what's great about him? He was smart to call the cops.
Yep.
I feel like Kevin McAllister took so long. He called at the end of the first one. I don't know if he called in the second one. Well, no, he threw a brick through the window. He didn't even call the cops. He threw a brick with a note attached.
Right. Well, again, we established this kid's more of a genius than Kevin McAllister. You know what I mean? Kevin McAllister threw nails on the floor, tacks, he did simple stuff. This kid had, he made his own inventions. He was total MacGyver in this.
We'll get into that, because I don't know who's stronger out of Kevin McAllister or Alex Pruitt, but I don't know. There's some contraptions I don't think he physically could do. But so did you notice who one of the cops was that came to the house?
Oh, boy.
It was Neil Flynn from Scrubs, the janitor from Scrubs.
You know what? I never watched. I watched one episode of Scrubs, and
he was in a bunch of other stuff. He was on The Middle, that was on for like 8-9 seasons on ABC. Yeah.
Nope.
He's like a big time, like Chicago Second City actor. But so he plays one of the cops in the movie. They're like, "Hey, kid, there's nobody in that house. Nobody was in that house, and now your parents are gonna have to pay for the door because we kicked the door in."
Yeah, I mean, and as usual, the cops. Never trust the kid, even though is it possible the bad guy escapes? Is it possible? No, we don't find anything. And this happens multiple times.
Yeah.
With this kid.
Yeah, pretty much the next day. They don't even the same thing the next day. He's in the house again. No evidence.
Well, the way the cops were treating this, I'm surprised they went back the second day. After they realize this kid, they think this kid pulled a prank. The same kid calls back. You're gonna go again?
Yeah.
I mean, shame on the cops then at that point,
And he's real sassy with the chief of police. Sorry for being a good citizen.
Yep.
He's just trying to do the right thing,
Well, to go back to the cop, when he called the cops. So he calls the cops. He knew the address, the house number, the exact address to get there. Now, he's 8 years old. Now, I can't tell you any of the numbers of my friends' addresses, even in my neighbors. I don't know, because numbers skip. He knew, it's this house. Like, he knew the address to a T.
Most 8-year-olds don't even know their address.
They don't know their own address. That's my point. But he knew, it's 8 Mockingbird Way. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
And then he goes upstairs. I got to say, man, his siblings and that bird, who, again, one of the best actors in the movie, are real bullies. So I understand, why Doris, that's like his only friend.
It is.
And rats are smart. He's smart, so maybe that was like a purpose
Well, and the parrot's a genius. So, you know, his animals. And, you know, it's funny. Is this the scene where they came in, the cops came in there and they saw the dog and they yelled freeze? And the dog froze?
I thought the dog was going to start peeing because the one leg was up.
That would be great. That's awesome.
So here's the first time that technology, this is 1997, okay? Internet speeds are 56K. Things are slow. It takes like a whole night to download like a song.
Right.
So Alex has just a normal video camera tied to the top of his car, that car that he got from the old lady that has a chip in it, wirelessly connects it. So while that car is not connected to any wires, he's able to watch it on TV. That wasn't around in 1997. It wasn't around in, it was like barely around in 2007 to have that kind of functionality.
And not even that, to even think to do that, to put it on the, and have you ever owned remote control car?
Yeah.
How far can they really go?
That far at all.
And this kid's, the remote control goes, I mean, we'll get more detail, but he goes all over the neighborhood. He goes inside the houses. He has incredible control. Now, he just got this as a gift, right? From the old lady.
Yeah.
Okay. He controls that like he's Mario Andretti. I've tried remote control cars. You crash into everything. He is enabled to maneuver everywhere possible. Like, he's like a pro. Like, you know, if there was like a circuit, he'd crush it.
Yeah. And he's peeping on the bad guy, the main bad guy.
Or the peeper.
He's the peeper. So he's following him into the house. He's backing up, back and forward, and he's watching the TV in his house. And this scene was really funny because we talked about it before. Bad guys again, right near it. He has to hit his glove. He's like, it's right in front of me. I'm going to grab it. Instead of grabbing it, just grab it.
Yeah.
Then he runs around. He hides. Oh, dude, this scene's awesome. So he hides, and the clothes fall on him. So this guy is just trying to look for a toy car. He knows the doggy door is not flapping, so it has to still be in the house. So then he's smart, turns on the TV, and then he calls the house, and the parrot talks to the guy.
Hello, this is Karen.
Hi, how's it going?
the parrot has a whole conversation. And again, he acts like a regular parrot sometimes, and he'll start singing, and he'll start repeating. But then he says things just so ridiculous. Like, is there someone famous that voices the parrot?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it'd be a parrot.
I don't think it's really the parrot talking.
I'll look that up.
We have to look that up. I don't know.
But the parrot sounds like it's like repeating exactly what the mom says. So yeah, so this is like the big chase scene. This scene was fun.
The kid's genius made everything fun. But you forgot the other genius thing he did, how he got up down the stairs.
Parrot did have an actor voice.
Oh, he did? Okay.
The wonderful Darren T. Nouse.
Oh, there you go. All right.
He was the voice of Baby Joe in Mighty Joe Young. That's the only other voice role. He usually just works in the sound department. Oh, no, he's in other things too.
Okay.
I take that back if Darren's listening.
But yeah, do you remember how he figured out how to go down the stairs?
Oh, with the rug. That was amazing.
That's amazing. Like I said, so this is a remote control car, and he thinks on his feet. He's quick. You know, I mean, what 8-year-olds can think this fast? I mean, this kid's awesome.
No, it's wild. So did you have a little flashback with the parrot when the parrot started singing? Did it remind you of Son of the Mask? Because this is a kid's movie, and they think, okay, they're sitting in a boardroom, they're smoking a cigar, the president of the company is like, this is a kid's movie, John Hughes. We got to make sure kids are intrigued. So what do you think we should play? What should the parrots sing? Something hit, something hot, something now. How about Jim Croce's Bad, Bad Leroy Brown?
Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
Well, would you think it would be funnier if they played that song, Hello, My Baby, Hello, My Darling? How good would that be? So
I think it's just, that's what I mean. I think it's that ridiculous. What kid is like, maybe the dad in the movie theater is like, hey, that's Jim Croce, man. I like this movie. No, it's just, I don't know. It's just like, why? And that comes back again. They do the same thing. So we've been, how far we've been into the movie? Nobody's really gotten hurt, right?
No. Yep.
We had the first accident. One of the bad guys, just the old guy, slipped on ice. He went right into the shed. everything falls all over him. And I was like, waiting for something to be like,
Yeah, I agree. And like, you know, at this point, it's like any other movie. You're waiting, you're really waiting for it. It's like when watching the Rocky movies, you're waiting for the training. Like you're waiting for that training scene. So here you're waiting for like some kind of like accidents, contraptions, and nothing yet. And the mom, all this was going to happen while the mom was home because the mom started staying home. So I'm like, all right, so he's not really home alone anymore. You know, like I didn't know where they were going with that. Speaking of which, now you got an 8-year-old. What mom leaves the 8-year-old home alone?
I was home alone that. Yeah. Nowadays you go to jail, but I remember when I was a kid, there'd be some days
at 8.
I'd walk home from school and like hang out for an hour.
8 years old.
Yeah.
What grade are you in 8th grade? 8 years old. You're
second or third.
You don't think that's young to be home alone at 8? Especially a kid who can build a house almost, like, which we'll get into with the way he's cutting everything and like using power tools and, you know.
Maybe he's allowed by the state of Illinois because he can build Rube Goldberg machines and operate like Mario and Jetty. Maybe he can do that. You know, it was really funny too. I love the woman that had the jogging stroller. She just shoved the thing right into the shed. And it was all like disheveled. The doll head was all.
Do you remember what the old lady said?
No.
As soon as the woman did that and shoved it, she's watching now. She's peeping also. So apparently it's a peeping neighborhood. So she sees the lady throw the carriage and she goes, oh, people are always in a rush. Like, not even worried about the kid that might have been in the basket there. She's just worried that the woman's in a rush.
Well, she probably did. She probably hurt her kids.
That is true.
So then they're so pissed, okay? So this is the first time that, dude, this bad guy was fully about to murder that old woman.
Oh, this is, okay. So is this after, I'm trying to, because you know what, we're talking about the lady with the carriage. I like the other costume also. The guy that looked like he reminded me of like Peter Sellers. Like the like a Sherlock Holmes kind of like, you know, like old school, like again, we talked about this earlier with the airport, how like, you know, you're trying to, you know, like not stick out and be suspicious. They couldn't look any more suspicious.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean that I forgot about that costume.
Oh, I know.
I was laughing at that.
Remember he gets hit by a car? The other bad guy runs him over, Lenny Van Dolan runs him over. But no, that was the first time in this movie when they're like talking to the old lady. Dude, I really thought.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like, oh my God, they're about to murder this old woman. Like,
well, the minute they closed the garage door, I'm like,
oh, I know. It was like, dude, when I was 11 watching this, I was probably like, oh my God, what am I watching right now?
Yeah.
But yeah, so the toy car scene, the whole thing, just to go back, I know we jumped forward a little bit. I thought that was so awesome. There was like pretty funny action in it. They're both trying to jump over the fence. The girl and the bad guy at the same time crash into each other. The toy car fly. Dude, he jumps a toy car over an alleyway, like a little street.
And he timed it perfectly for when the guy turned around to look, it went right over. So he didn't even see that. Yeah. I love the part when the one guy, like the car wasn't moving and it was sitting right there. So the guy like dove. Like up in the air, like a Superman dive to grab it, and of course the car goes. You forget that part. How about when it was stuck, and the girl picked it up, and the kid right over her. Like he really like. I've never seen anyone using a remote control the way this kid did. He was, you know, he was able to get out of any jam. Like that he was just incredible.
I hope when he grew up, he was on. God, what was the show when the robots, they fight robots on Comedy Central, and it used to be on pay per view. The robot battles. What the heck was the name of that?
Battlebots?
Battlebots, yeah. Yeah. No, but you're right. She's holding another one.
Yep.
It's right in her hand. It scrapes over her face. She has like a mark on her chin.
How fast does a car go? Like a toy car?
No idea. I would hope.
Could you think you could outrun a car?
Yeah, I know. I think so. Electric one?
Or you got four people. You can't corner it somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you got four people instead of like running around the entire neighborhood. Like, and it happened to one part with the car. The guy, the car that he was playing chicken with, and he decides he's scared and he goes off on the side.
Well, I thought the same thing, and then I was like, oh my God, and then I'm like, you know what? He didn't crush it.
Okay.
I think he didn't want to crush it. I thought the same thing. I'm like, dude, what is he doing? But no, this is to go back what you're talking about before, the distance of the radio signal. Okay, so. When the radio signal, he's going away. he's right going away, obviously, in his distance, the way he's driving it.
Right.
And then it stops. So he has to run in the house to get closer to it, but he keeps going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So if you're going in the same direction, then it would just keep cutting out. He'd have to, like, run out of the house.
Or, I mean, I'm assuming if even if the house is next door, would it work the walls like that? Like,
no.
like if you're in one house, go to the other house, the fact that he was able to maneuver that entire house, I don't think it would work either. So,
yeah, and that thing was like a $20 or $30 toy even back then.
Right.
We had cordless phones in our house that don't work.
Right.
Like, not in the 90s. You walk into one room, the signal would be, like, blocked because the one wall was, like, an old brick wall.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, questions. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah, so they have the woman. They have her tie up in the garage. And, dude, Alex is ready to protect his neighborhood.
And you know what? He's got balls. He told his mom, no, go out. Go, you know, like, he wanted to take on the guys himself.
Yeah.
He knew he could handle it. He knew he was smarter than them. And, you know, he's like, I'm not going to deal with the cops anymore. By the way, we skipped the part when he called the army recruiter. Like, remember when he found the chip?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So of all people, he calls the army recruiter. The guy goes, listen, we don't do that here.
Well, you want to take the information down? The guy's like, all right, I guess I will.
But yeah, I mean, like, so, but he had balls. He's like, let me take them on myself.
Yeah,
you know,
some 80-year-olds won't even, like,
yeah,
do anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Some 20-year-olds don't even make their own doctor appointments, you know?
Yeah. And so I'm curious, how long of a time was it between when he made all those contraptions and they decided to go back the next day? Because I'm assuming it was the next day, right?
Yeah, it had to be the next day.
Okay, so he came. I had no trouble building a little, like, you know, desk in a couple hours. This kid made contraptions that MacGyver wouldn't have been able to do less than a day.
Oh, I tried to do a 1,000-piece puzzle a couple weeks ago. We stopped after like 5 minutes because I was like, oh, man. No, I know, the time frame wise, and then the fact that he needed everybody out of the house. So it's not like he could work overnight on it.
Right.
So, yeah, no, he did that. He did a lot of that, like, super quick. He's 8 years old.
Yep.
And he's going against 4 criminals who have guns. One even had a little power saw, which really creeped me out. Now I know why they used it. He cut the sign down. He flipped it over, made a mailbox so the street didn't get plowed. But at first, I'm like, dude, they're going to, like, torture this kid.
And you know what? These are known criminals. They're wanted criminals that the guy at the FBI said, or was it the police or the FBI said, we've been tracking them for 7 years. We could never get them. And this 8-year-old is taking them out.
Yeah. He's got balls. Here's a second questionable. So the girl, she walks up to the house first. She has, I don't know, Oakley looking glasses on. She is turning on the fiber optics and that somehow sends it back to them.
Yep. Very high tech back then.
I just don't understand it. I understand they have to throw things like that sometimes, but it's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah. No, they made it very high tech.
For this kid.
Is this when she walked up the stairs? Is this when she?
Yep.
So, we see this in so many movies. And I think we saw that, was it Police Academy, when he jumped off the truck and he did like a flip?
Oh, I know.
So she's going up the stairs and they crumble and she falls down, right? Like, that was like one of the first booby traps that he set.
Yeah.
So now she is now, how many steps are there? 3? 4? Yeah. Like it was a front porch, right? She had to do like a triple Lindying flip to get on top of that. Like, she couldn't just, like, you know, step over it. Like, she had to do, like, all right, you know what? Here comes not only, she did 4 flips before she got there.
It's not like there was tripwires in the grass. So I don't know why she was doing that. But there was some wire on the front porch and a little kiddie sign that said electrical fence all in, like, red. And it looked like plastic. So the guy's like, I'll touch it. Why not?
I think that sign was genius.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Totally baited them in there.
Because who would think an 8-year-old is capable of any of this?
Right. And you know what? If you don't have a sign there, they might be like, all right, what is this? But the fact that it looked like it was written in crayon and he's like, you know, by an 8-year-old kid, oh, this is a joke. You know, he's trying to scare us.
And then and then the other bad guy goes to the back porch. He's like, oh, let me take a seat for a second. You're in the middle of, like, trying to, like, get this very important device back so North Korea pays you, and they sound like at one point North Korea was going to kill him if they don't get it.
Right.
And he sits in a chair and gets electrocuted. So we have 2 guys getting electrocuted.
Yeah, I was questioning why he sat down. Like, what was he sees the chair, he got sit down. I mean, that didn't make sense either. So, yeah.
Yeah, was he having a rough night? Come on.
And both of them got fried the same time.
Yeah. This is something I have written down, and I'm sure this happened before what we just mentioned. But, again, he's 8 years old, and he's operating tractors. So when he was setting up everything, the pool in the backyard, he was operating tractors. So right after the guys get electrocuted, the main bad guy comes over and he's like, hey, watch out, that fence. That's a real fence. So he unplugs it, and then they're looking in the front door. And, dude, I looked up. When they looked up and they saw the barbell with – it looked like – it wasn't a 45, but it looked like 25 and 10 on each side.
Like a 5-pound – a 10-pound – it was probably a 5 or a 10-pound plate.
But that kid could not lift that.
No. Not only that, it took both of the guys to push it off them.
Yeah.
So they landed on their head. So when they're laying in the ground, both those guys had to push it off. Like, one guy could just, like, you know, shove it aside. And go even further before when he was setting everything up, when he was driving a tractor. Now, he's dragging a trampoline. And he was dragging the trampoline in half because it wasn't going to fit through.
Oh, yeah. How
now, do you fit that up? I've owned a trampoline. First of all, they're not light. They're not easy to move. And they don't bend in half like that. Especially with the trampoline on there. So the fact that he was able to do that and move it, and I mean, is amazing. The only question I have, now, he doesn't own a dog, correct? They don't have a dog.
No dog.
Why does he have a dog whistle?
Well, he is a little prankster in the neighborhood, so maybe he uses the dog whistle, like, mess up. Yeah, that is, maybe.
Like, who? First of all, have you ever seen a dog whistle? Like, I've never seen a dog whistle. You always, you know, hear. Right. So he has a dog whistle. Why? I mean, he's a creep. He's, you know.
So, yeah, so the barbell falls down on top of those guys. Before that, you had the big
bookcase.
Yeah, the bookcase flies out, knocks them on the ground. They get up. Dude, the barbell, it would have killed them.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that in the first two Home Alones. There would have been, like, they would have died multiple times. I would say by this point right now, 4 deaths.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you could do the same thing with the first Home Alone also.
Oh, I know. No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the electrocution alone.
I would say that's what I'm trying to argue. In this movie, those guys died more than the guys in the original.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know it's a lot of electricity when the hair, you know, does the typical hair thing when it all stands up crazy, you know, for the 1 second. Yeah, so.
And there was different traps in this one, clever ones. So when the going guy gets about to go into the window, there's the plaster and the water balloon. So everything gets stuck on his face, and he has, like, you know, white face just, like, sitting there. And
yep.
That was a good one.
Now, is this the same guy that had the hose, the faucet going on?
That was No.
Okay, so that was the other one, right? It was cold water and spraying all over there, and he was trying to shut it off. Why didn't he walk away? Like, he was wrestling with it. Like, the water was spraying on him. Why didn't he walk away? He's sitting. That's because the woman found him over there.
Yeah.
So, like, again, just walk away. Like, you have to shut it off.
Yeah. So when this whole thing started, when they got there, this whole third act, like the one, like you mentioned, like the Rocky scene, like, anyway, this whole thing is like the last, like, 40 minutes of the movie of just. That's why I paused it there. Not like I was saying, oh my God, this movie's, like, so long. It's ridiculous. It is a long for a kid's movie.
Yep.
But I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, man, it's like an hour right now. The movie's like an hour 45. I'm like, wow, this is like, so you got a lot from it. There were so many different traps.
Well, you know, I mean, I think a lot of these kind of movies are usually about 90 minutes long. You know, you usually, you know, like, not even, or even less, like, you know, the kid's movie. This is like an adult length movie.
Oh yeah.
You know? But you're at the climate. You're at the port. You're at the Rocky training now, and you know this is what you waited for. This is, you know, everything else was, like, you know, silly stuff of him spying. Now you're waiting. What kind of traps is he setting up? You know, and don't forget. I mean, again, setting up the traps that he did. He destroyed his house.
Oh, I know.
He cut holes in the floor. I mean, he destroyed his entire house. The fact that he made I think every floor he cut holes in.
Oh yeah.
In the house. First of all, the house is massive, gigantic. Like, that was the biggest, that was the longest dumbwaiter I've ever seen.
Oh,
like,
I know.
The length of that, you know?
Yeah.
But he destroyed the house. It would have been really funny.
What if those guys are like, you know what? We don't need that ship. We're just going to not go there more. And his dad, the mom, the brother and sister, they just, like, come home and they're like, what'd you do to the house? There's holes in the floor. They're like, I swear there was bad guys going to come here.
Meanwhile, the fact that they destroyed the house was never brought up. Even when the parents came home, even when the father, which, by the way, is it me or every movie they make the father is like clueless about everything all the time, all the time. And the mom's always the one that's a little bit more intuitive, but even said she was, you know, but like they didn't even question, like, why is my house destroyed?
He and all the construction workers that were in the house that day.
Yeah.
Hours later.
Yeah.
When I interviewed Kevin Kilner, he talked about it. And he really enjoyed this movie. And just like Lenny Van Dold, like, really enjoyed this movie. But he said, that's the movie. I was around for a little bit and then I was gone until the very end.
Well, you know, you think about it. If you're an actor and you're in a movie where you have to do all these silly stunts, I would love it. Like, I mean, how much fun. They probably had so much fun.
Yeah.
Those bad guys going through all these stupid stunts. Because it was silly. It was like, you know, like, it was – and I bet you some of their, like, pratfalls were you know, made up and you know, on the spot. But that had to be fun. So I could see this being an enjoyable movie to make. It doesn't mean that movie is going to be a great movie to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But to make it as an actor, I think that this would be so much fun to do.
Yeah. Really, like a lot of a few of these people I talked to, you know, it's not like you're making Shakespeare.
Right.
So you know what you're doing going into it. But yeah, Lenny, when you guys listen to the interview, it's really good. He talks about like he was wrestling with this because he was always in serious drama roles, like nothing really like silly like this. But said, A, it paid really well, and it would have been a movie that would really maybe get him out there because it was really like he was already in a lot of stuff.
Right.
But this is one that he was like a main character, and this is a big budget movie. Like this movie. Yeah. I think the budget was like around $30 million.
Wow.
And Kevin Kilner said that he used to say when he was on set, because he was there the whole time, but just only shot probably like 4 or 5 days. And he said he would go to the guys and be like, man, I wish I was having my hair, you know, blown up and having paint all over my face and jumping in water and stuff.
No, and absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, I bet you like you kind of feel like a stuntman or a stuntwoman for a movie like this. You're not doing anything crazy that's going to hurt you, but you're getting physical and you're getting like, you know, it's like prank done. I think it would be a lot of fun to be an actor that's doing something like this.
Yeah. For the most part in this movie, they're all practical stunts, except like the dumbwaiter fall and like a few of them, but it's really them doing it. They're doing things that aren't like dangerous. There's like shaking and stuff. Yeah. No, it's funny.
Yeah.
So first time in this movie, I noticed like in a lot of movies, they have like, sponsors that are in the movie. You're like, oh my god, that's like, it's obvious Domino's Pizza sponsor this, like the joke they make in Pizza Hut with Wayne's World when they're eating the pizza, they're wearing the Reebok. And so when he comes in the room and his feet are stuck in the bucket, it's buckets of Mega Bloks.
Yeah. and he's like skating along the rest of the house. And you know, was that before the rat went up his pants?
I don't know. I think it's right.
We're all in the same. Yeah. I mean, first of all, the rat climbed his leg.
Yeah.
He didn't feel that. Like the rat was climbing his leg, you know.
He's probably so cold from the hypothermia kicking in from the water outside.
So he's all numb. Well, that I think right after that part is when the parrot yells, Charlie, run.
Yeah.
Because the parrot was in the shower, right?
The parrot lands on his gun.
I was cracking up in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When the guy goes there, he thinks he sees a woman in there and he's like all excited and the parrot's singing.
Yeah, the guy was getting a little creepy for a second. He had a gun. He was at the point to a woman in the shower. Yeah, a little sketchy. So the main bad guy, when they're, I think they're in the basement. It's just before that. When he puts his gun down.
Yep.
Covers it with the shirt and he accidentally picks up Alex's dart gun.
I'm assuming I'm not a gun expert, but I'm assuming
you're not a gun. You're not a gun expert.
I'm not. I'm a knife expert, but not a gun expert.
Oh, okay, good.
But I would think that the guns feel differently.
I would hope so.
I would think that one's a lot lighter than the other one. Yeah. You know, so for this guy to grab it, I thought he grabbed the water gun, the one he painted, but the kid had that one. Or no, is that the one he painted? The dark gun, or whatever. There's a third gun in there.
Well, the third one was a bubble gun. I think it had bubbles in it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's funny.
Yeah. So the parrot. Yeah, the parrot and the guy with the gun was so ridiculous. And then, when he gets hit, he gets hit in the nuts with the rat. I wrote this down. He said, You smacked my winky.
My winky. Listen, it is always a nut shot in these kind of movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And there's nothing funnier. I mean, outside, you know, you get two things. You get the nut shot and the fart noise.
Yeah.
And you get both in this movie.
Yeah. You got to have both. You got to have both. And then the bad guys, the whole, when he was preparing, he moved the pool over. And he made the pool look like it was a different place. And both bad guys were going to chase him out. They jump off the trampoline. I mean, they jump off the roof. The girl basically pushes them off.
Yep.
They go through the trampoline that's not really a trampoline. It's all cut up. And they go right into the frozen water.
Why would they jump at the same time?
Oh, I know. That would be the dumbest thing.
So you don't know how much weight it could go. So they do it at the same time. Yeah. And they go right in there. And that's where they stay the rest of the movie, you know. Yeah. You forget about the quicksand that he kind of made for the lady in the back or whatever, that mud pile.
Oh, yeah.
That she couldn't even move. And how about that tape measure that he had? That was the longest tape measure I've ever seen. He used it to, like, I guess, go. He went through his whole house with the one tape measure.
Yeah.
Like, these things he had, like, a bucket of glue like that, those glue things.
Oh, I know. Right outside the fence or shoes and Rick Shower. There's no Google. There was no Google back then. So he was just doing this off of, like, I don't know. You watch a lot of movies.
Creativity? What?
Like, what's this kid doing? Everybody else, like, reading, you know, Clifford the Big Red Dog, and he's reading, like, Jolly Roger's cookbook.
Yeah.
Like, he knew, like, all the things that he needed to do.
So they see him outside. Why wouldn't they run downstairs and, like, run out? Like, they wasted more time debating if they're going to jump on a trampoline than say, you know what? We see him outside. Let's get downstairs as fast as we can.
Or how about we just shoot them? They have the gun. We know that they purposely want to kill this kid. They're bad guys. They've done
well, just in case maybe if he doesn't have the chip on him and then you shoot him, you know, you got to make sure they have it.
And then Alex, being the good kid that he is, he goes to save that, you know, drunk old mean lady. She's sitting there passed out for some reason.
And she looked horrible. It was cold. She hyperthermia. So she was, you know, the door was left open. The window was open when the guy was there. But she looked like death.
I mean,
so that was kind of creepy in itself. I mean, the kid's movie, and she looked like the kid even thought he was dead. Like, she was like, he was like tapping her in the face, you know.
He probably secretly was hoping she was dead.
Probably.
This mean lady that would complain about babysitting me and helping my family out. And so the bad guy needed a gun. He points the gun at him. He's hiding in the closet. It's a dark gun. And again, he misses him.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is crazy. Yeah. He's pointing a dark gun at him. The dart goes, just like a bullet goes forward, and it, like, hits on the TV.
Yep.
So as I don't want to kill anyone, you don't want to kill anyone, but if you want to kill an 8-year-old, I'm sure you don't need a gun. There's other things in the room. I'm sure you can just grab them.
Yep.
But no, he basically runs because the other kid pulls a gun out. What 8-year-old would have the – I know he does crazy stuff in this movie with all these traps, but what 8-year-old would fire a gun?
Well, he knew the guy, because when he grabbed the gun, he knew the guy grabbed the wrong gun. So he had it with him.
Oh, yeah.
The same 8-year-old that's going to pretty much kill these guys at every contraption he had. So, I mean, I think death might have been on his mind, because everything should have killed him. Even falling 4 floors from the attic down to the basement, they fell to the floor. You know, everything. The electric. So I don't think holding a gun to them would have made that much of a difference. I think he's a creeper, he's a peeper, and he's a killer, you know, so.
That should have been the tagline for this movie. Creepers, peepers, and a killer. Home Alone 3, summer, 1997. But yeah, so bad guys are caught, two frozen in the pool. Where was the girl caught? Oh, she was dumbwaiter. She was stuck in the dumbwaiter. They took her out. She was like a doll.
How did she realize, like, what happened to that? Like, that she thought the dumbwaiter was there. Oh, because she heard the robot bring it up?
Yeah, the robot hit the button, but it wasn't there. I guess it would stay down somehow. I didn't get that either.
So he must have took it out. Yeah, you can't take a dumbwaiter. So, like, she didn't even look. She's like, oh, let me go down here. It was like an elevator shaft. Like, she didn't even, like, look and see if he was there.
Has she been in them before to know that she can fit in a certain way? Because she went in, like, yeah, I would at least touch first.
Yeah, right. You would look down there, see if he's down there. She went in ass backwards.
Yeah, when an elevator door opens, I don't just jump right in. Yeah. I look at least for a second.
Yeah.
Even though my whole life an elevator floor has been there, I still want to make sure it's still there every time.
Well, next time you go to an elevator, make sure you walk it backwards. Take that chance.
That freaked me out. All right, so the bad guys are caught. Like you mentioned before, the FBI guy was like, Man, I've been trying to track these guys 7 years. Every time he gets away. Don't worry. The parrot. Which there's some questions with this too.
So, I don't.
Did the parrot put the remote control onto the car and tape it? How did it get there?
Well, considering a parrot knows how to light a match.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm going to say that it's very possible. No, that he did that. And how big was this igloo? It wasn't that big, right? Over the You're going to tell me the guy, only until the parrot had the match, he noticed there was dynamite or whatever all around the top of that? I mean, it's a small little thing. But yes, I think the parrot definitely did that.
How do they know? They're like, oh, this bad guy. I was looking at his FBI file. Like, he loves hiding igloos in people's backyards.
Oh, is that what it said?
No.
Because I was wondering the same thing. I go, like, why did he set that up? Like, why do you think he was in hide there? Like, I don't know.
If it was a shed, maybe, or something else, I don't know.
Wait a second. I think when he was at the police station, the police came in. They mentioned that he does like to hide in igloos.
He's part Eskimo. But you know what's funny? And then they had to throw it in again. The parrot lighting the match, singing "Bad Bad Leroy Ben," baddest man in the whole damn town. So yeah, so he's dead. He's dead, right? Did they show him get arrested?
No, they just saw the fireworks going off and so he should be dead. But did the parrot get out? Do you see the parrot at the end, or no? Is the parrot at the end?
I hope so. Oh, dude, this movie got really sad if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing the parrot at the end either.
He was an arrow.
You know what?
He was a hero.
The parrot sacrificed himself to get the last bad guy.
Wow.
He's the hero. He's the real hero of the movie.
I wish I could think of a drama movie situation. Oh, he's like the Jack of Rose is the kid.
He's the
Jack of Titanic.
You know what he is? He's the Bruce Willis in Armageddon.
Yes, he is.
He sacrificed himself so the kid didn't have to do it. And I'm sorry if anyone's never seen Armageddon. Spoiler alert.
When they're writing Armageddon, they're like, man, what should we do? Hey, let's do that parrot scene from the end of Home Alone 3. So Kevin Kilner, he's back in the movie. The whole house we mentioned before, construction workers everywhere. And what does he bring, Alex? A toy car. A blue toy car. And did you hear how much money this kid got for the reward?
It was three figures, right? Or something like that?
Six figures.
Three figures. That's what I meant. Six figures, yeah.
$99 to $100. This chip has the ability to disarm missiles, but the government's a little cheap right now. And, oh no, the bad guy does get killed at the end. The final scene. They have chicken pox in their headshots. All four of them there.
You know what? I didn't even notice that.
I didn't even notice that. I really thought we were going to get a death.
So maybe the parrot didn't make it out then. Did you see the parrot again?
God. No, I don't remember the parrot again.
Oh, maybe he, you know, okay. So there might've been a death, but you know what? I didn't notice a chicken pox on the mugshot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which they didn't touch the kids. So I don't know how they would get it. Right.
Well, can you get chicken pox if you touch something else the kid touched?
I don't know. I had shingles, but I had chicken pox, but I recently had shingles, but no, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I guess you can get it from like, you know, what's funny. This one, they never almost had him. Well, at the very end,
the one time
he had the gun,
the one time, like in the other movies, they almost had him a bunch of times.
Yeah. They grabbed the jacket and the jacket ripped or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. That's Home Alone 3. Jamie, what did you think of the movie?
All right. So as an adult watching this movie, I found it hard to watch because it's over the top silliness. You know, if I was a child watching this, I'd probably love it. You know, so, you know, going into the movie, knowing it's a kid's movie, I would recommend it for children, but I wouldn't recommend it for adults. Like Home Alone, I can still watch today. Like every Christmas, I watch it with my family. You know, it's a great movie. You know, the original one. This one, it takes it to a different level. You know, so I think it's definitely a great kids movie. But as an adult, I'm not going to take my wife, me and her, and we're going to watch this.
Oh no, I know. But for the holidays, honestly, when my daughter gets older, I would totally put this on because chase scenes were funny. I love the parrot. The kid was funny. I don't know. I just think John Hughes, like, really, a lot of times when these third, fourth movies come out, especially 7 years later, you're usually like, oh, who wrote this one? Joe Schmo? And it's like, well, oh my God, John Hughes wrote this movie.
You said it. You know, when your daughter gets older, you'll be able to watch movies like this. And as silly as they are, now you can laugh through her with her about these silly movies. You know,
well, I watch I laugh perfectly fine by myself.
Other personal problem. So that's
no, but the parrot I thought was so clever, and they really like Tarantula did nothing. Yeah. This they were like, hey, let's take the same parrot that was in, looks like the parrot that was in Pauly, and it looked like the same parrot that was in Scary Movie 2. Not going to do the fact checking on that right now, but soon that's what I'll do tonight. But
well, I mean, and you know, I know we're finished the movie, but the rat was also super super smart because the kid trained him to go where he needed to go. Like he told the rat to hide around the corner, and then go off the guy's leg. I mean, like so, like he was almost like Dr. Doolittle, the kid.
Yeah, it was clever casting because rats are like one of the smartest animals. Like they can learn a lot as a pet,
right.
And he's smart. So I think they, I thought it was pretty good. I would say definitely watch it because there is some really funny, silly, over the top scenes. And so what do you think could have been done to make this movie maybe more enjoyable? So you'd have the same feeling when you watch Home Alone.
That's a good question.
What if this movie was called, like, obviously it's a bad name on the top of my head, but like Kid at Home, and you watch this movie, you're like, oh, Kid at Home. And,
you know what? I don't know because I mean, I almost like him better than Kevin McAllister,
Totally.
So, and I like the parrot aspect because it brought some light humor and I love Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern. But these guys, like he took on four people. I don't know. I don't think they can make it better. I think what the audience that they made it for, I think it's perfect.
That's great. No, you know what's funny? If you compare the two real quick, Kevin McAllister pretty much hated his family. They didn't like him. This one, I know he didn't get along with his brother and sister. Perfect relationship with his parents.
Yeah.
They were funny. The dad, he goes, Dad, you got everything? You got this? How about your wallet? And he goes, I got my wallet. And he goes, yeah. And the dad walks away. He's in his boxers.
Yeah.
And he actually had his pants still hung. So they had like a cool relationship. This is like an 8-year-old kid.
Well, I think he's the most mature one in the house. The kid. And well, you know what is also with the original movie, Kevin McAllister is like such a wise ass. Like
yeah.
makes it fun. I mean, again, for an adult, makes it funny. He's just a smart ass. Where this kid is not really a smart ass. He's just smart. And then again, the original one, you have the creepy uncle, who's annoying. And I think the original one is geared more towards adults that can enjoy it, where this one's more dealt towards kids. And that's why he probably wasn't captured too often because I think maybe young kids might get nervous.
Yeah, no, that's true. This movie did really well. The budget was right around 30. It made, it grossed 79 million. So
really that was, it was probably directed to DVD, right? Or
no, this wasn't the movie theater. No, this is why it released. Yeah. When I talked to Lenny, he said after the movie, he lives out in LA. He said he went to the mall out there, the big mall. I can't think of the name. Not the palace, not the
Mall of America.
No, no, that's in Minnesota.
I've never been to California or Minnesota.
No, I know, no. But anyway, this big mall, and he said he was driving, and he almost crashed his BMW because there is like 40-foot posters on the side of the mall, like prepping for the movie. No, it had a big release and it did well. So, So that's it for Home Alone 3. Stay tuned for next week for our two interviews. I had the chance to talk with first Lenny Van Dolen. Played one of the bad guys in the movie, the one that sat in the chair, jumped in the pool, tried to shut off the water that was spraying him. His character's name was Burton Jernigan. He was in a cult classic called Electric Dreams in the mid-80s, but he's most famous for his role as Harold Smith on Twin Peaks. And the other interview was with Kevin Kildner, who played Mr. Pruitt, Alex's dad. He was in so much awesome stuff over the years. He starred in a CBS series opposite Nancy Travis in the mid-90s called Almost Perfect. It's pretty funny. And in one of the best Frasier episodes of all time, Roz and the Schnoz. So if you want to check that out. And he had a great scene in American Pie 2. Scene when the walkie-talkies, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So don't forget to review, rate, and share our podcast. Follow us on Twitter @sequelsonly. Good night.
Good night.